Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Championship Sunday in Miami, the Sunshine Double reaching its crescendo as 4 weeks of heart-pounding, often jaw-dropping hardcore tennis come to an end. One more champion to crown before we head off to the clay as we welcome you to Tennis Channel Live on this final day of the 2024 Miami Open, working our way towards this, the men's singles final at the top of the hour, as Australian Open champion Jannik Sinner looks to continue his dominant start to the year against a resurgent Grigor Dimitrov, who is producing some of his finest ball at the age of 32. But a moment first to salute the champions that we just crowned here in Miami. Bethany Mattek-Sands, sore ankle and all, wins her 30th career doubles title. It's number four for her partner, Sonia Kenin, as the American women sweep the titles in Miami singles and doubles. With that, we say good afternoon. Welcome, everybody, to Tennis Channel Live here at Hard Rock Stadium. Happy Easter to everybody who's celebrating at home with Prakash Amritraj and the original Miami Open champion, Martina Navratilova. I'm Brett Haber. We'll have Mark Pecci and Jim Courier on the call for the men's final coming up in just a few minutes. P, you had Jannik Sinner and Grigor Dimitrov here at the desk multiple times during the week. I'm curious your take, just kind of mentally, emotionally, who do you think is best prepared in the best headspace to get this done today?
Well, look, Sinner's been doing this for quite some time, right? Over the last 6 months, he's kept this high level up. But this is a next level we're seeing from Grigor Dimitrov. I think the best we've seen from him all career long. And the big thing that he said when he stood out here on the desk was he doesn't feel like he's playing out of his socks. Nope. He feels like he's just in a great place mentally right now. And he really, honestly, truly doesn't care about the results. He just wants to leave it all out there, kind of be at peace, be happy with the process. And that's what's spelling such good results for him.
Is Jannik Sinner the best tennis player in the world right now?
Well, Novak Djokovic is not playing, and unfortunately for us. And yes, he's been the most consistent, and his average day is better than everybody else's average day at the moment. He's taken it to a whole new level. So it gives him a lot of peace of mind because he knows he doesn't have to play out of his socks. He doesn't have to redline anything to win matches. The other guys are the ones that have to redline. So that gives you a lot of confidence.
To that point, Martina, look, I always look at Sinner and Alcaraz sort of in the same category, right? Because they're so brilliant. They have such great offense. And Carlos, when he's playing at his height, it's almost undefendable. But he has those patches where he just kind of goes on those spates and makes those unforced errors. Haven't really seen that from Sinner. So buttoned up.
No patches from Sinner. He is more consistent, if maybe not as spectacular, as Alcaraz. Let's show you how our two finalists got here, starting with Jannik Sinner. He took on Daniil Medvedev in the semis, which was not only a rematch of the Australian Open final, but a rematch of the final last year here in Miami, which Medvedev won pretty comfortably. But Prakash, this was the opposite.
Oh boy, you want to talk about buttoned up. I mean, Sinner did everything well here. He never really came up off that baseline, so he was playing that offense and stealing time away from Medvedev. He pressed the net quite a bit. He looked sensational at the net. He served a great ball game. 80% he won on his first serve. Defended his second serve brilliantly also. Almost 60% won there. Saved all three of his break points. And he had Medvedev really confused out there. Daniil Medvedev, this is one of the best problem solvers out there. He played so good. The queen was in the house. Serena Williams was here. She was cheering him on. Watched Grigor Dimitrov later in the day as well. After cleaning up that first set 6-1, just continued to pile on the pressure. And again, you see Sinner just not giving up any ground, always finding a way to get inside the baseline. His execution was completely on point. And Medvedev,
it's a night jar, by the way. I looked it up. That's a night jar flying
around. You ornithologist, you, Haynes.
Wow, look at you. I had no idea, Prakash. I thought you only eat him. I didn't know you studied him.
The bird was soaring, Sinner was soaring, Haynes, it was one-sided out there.
It was pretty special to watch just three games for Medvedev. That match is the worst loss of his career. Seven winners, 22 unforced. Here's what Sinner accomplishes. If he wins today, he'd be the first Italian ever to reach number two. He will be among the youngest to win three titles in the first 3 months of the season, and he would improve to a gaudy 22-1
on the new year. What about the other semifinal? Dimitrov taking on Sasha Zverev. Zverev had not lost a set in the tournament entering this match, but Martina, Dimitrov has been slaying dragons all week, and he slayed another one.
He slayed another one yesterday. He only got two break points in the match. This one in the first set, and he broke. Serena appreciated that volley. Second set, no breaks of serve. And Zverev played a little bit better, but still, Dimitrov making him hit amazing shots. But Zverev got there, started moving better in the tiebreak, played a bigger tiebreak as he attacked in the net, doing that much better as well. But Dimitrov, 18 aces, only faced two break points, never got broken. And he was 2-4-2 on his breakpoint chances there at 15-40. This is the shot of the match. Left court, he still makes it, had to hit the deck. Big point and served it out comfortably. Just dominated on his serve. Speaking of serving, 63% of the points won on the second serve.
That's big.
How good he was.
That's
against
big.
The amazing returns of Zverev.
That's three top 10 wins this week for Dimitrov after also clipping Hurkacz and Alcaraz. Prakash, here's his road to the final. How's that for a murderer's row? A former champion in Hurkacz, Alcaraz coming off Indian Wells, and then Zverev.
Well, we've seen him play great tennis over the years, but that consistency, that's what we're seeing this week. First tournament with two top five wins since 2017 Brisbane. And I got to say, that Alcaraz match 2-4, I think the best start to finish match he's probably played in his career.
Ever. No doubt.
How do we explain the resurgence of Dimitrov? I mean, his game has been the same for the last 15 years. The one-handed backhand is a weapon, but it's also attackable. He's got the mini Fed factor on him. What's different now?
It just looks more relaxed, which is funny because when you get older, you get more nervous. When you get to the end of the career, a lot closer to the end of the career than the beginning, you get more nervous. It seems to be the other way. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm good. I'm giving it everything I have, so now I can relax. Just give it everything I have tomorrow again. And hitting shots that he hasn't hit before. Worked on his game. Improved the serve. That was his Achilles heel. Now it's a big weapon. And that backhand, that one-hander, you know, is perplexing guys. They don't know what to do with it.
It is, because there are none in the top 10 anymore, but there will be one starting on Monday again. We've got much more to come on TC Live. Dimitrov having a little time by himself, getting those fingers loose. He's going to put them to work to try to knock off the best player in the world, coming up in just a few minutes.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
Hope you enjoyed the women's doubles final as Americans Bethany Mattek-Sands and Sophia Kennan take the title here in Miami. Let's go down courtside for the trophy presentation.
All right. What a tournament. What a final. Please welcome your 2024 Miami Open doubles champions, Bethany Mattek-Sands and Sophia Kennan.
Well, firstly, I want to congratulate Erin and Gabby on a great match. It was such a tough match, and yeah, it was such a battle. So, you know, I wish you guys all the best this year, because you guys are really great playing and you're tough opponents. Of course, I want to thank Bethany for playing with me. It was super fun, and you know, you really teach me a lot of great stuff on court, and I'm definitely more comfortable in doubles, and I just still got to learn your volley, so. That's for upcoming tournaments. And of course, I want to thank all the sponsors and James, of course, for making this tournament possible. I absolutely loved it. I'm a Miami girl, I'm here. So yeah, it was great. It was great atmosphere and the fans are amazing. So thank you guys so much. And I just want to thank everyone in our team. You know, thank you for helping us. It's been great. Love you guys. Bethany's turn.
Thanks, Sonia. And You say you want to learn my volleys. I want to learn your lobs. So really impressive. So much fun playing with you. Always good energy. I mean, you're an amazing competitor. Look forward to playing more dubs. And Gabby and Aaron, tough match. I mean, it's a heartbreaker there at the end. It could have gone both ways. But best of luck for the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll play some more. James, I'm going to hold you to that no more alternates in next years. I was kind of stressed there for a little bit. We weren't in the tournament initially, but appreciate everything you do. Obviously, you're a very good friend, and all the upgrades around this tournament have been amazing, and like Abby said, the players really appreciate it. And then to my family, I've been staying with my younger brother. I have my parents here, both brothers. We're celebrating Easter after this. Happy Easter, everyone. Thanks for celebrating this Sunday. It's really, it's been quite a journey, and it's always nice coming back to this home place. I get really good energy from the crowd. My best friend has been here having a heart attack every day, every one of my matches, but I really feel the support and just want to send out a lot of big energy out there. Not sure where anyone is in their life right now, but you have everything you need. Be grateful, and everything's going to work out. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Bethany, now Pelisarcus will hand you and Sonia the beautiful...
Well, that's a good piece of philosophical advice from Bethany Maddox-Sands as she celebrates her 30th career doubles title. How about that at age 39? We had a 44-year-old champion yesterday with Rohan Bopanna, and now we have a 39-year-old champion who's been through more injuries than any 10 people should have to go through.
Well, particularly Bethany. I mean, she's had to make so many comebacks, and she played on an ankle where we weren't sure she was going to finish the match, and they end up winning the whole tournament. So... kudos to both of them, but particularly Bethany Maddox-Sands.
Love seeing Sonia Cannon be able to pick up some momentum. Hopefully that'll continue translating on the singles court. She had some ups, some good ups last year, but also some downs, so hopefully this helps her. And Bethany Maddox, I've known her since we were about 14 years old.
Oh.
Anytime she's on the court, she is smiling just like that.
Yeah.
Love that energy.
9 Grand Slam titles for Bethany, 5 in women's doubles, 4 in mixed, and now 30 doubles titles. That's quite a career she's put together. All right, we want to go back to looking at the men's singles final. It's time for our FanDuel match preview live. Odds on FanDuel have Sinner at minus 400. That makes him about a 75% favorite to win today. But hey, we've seen Dimitrov defy the odds a couple times this week. Break this down, including the prop bets, Prakash.
Yowza! That is a big favorite for Sinner. Just so, for people who have not bet before, you place $100 on Grigor Dimitrov, you would win $310 if he was to win. And Sinner, you got to place $400 down just to win $100. So that's a heavy favorite. But look, I don't mind it because I think Dimitrov could possibly disrupt him. But the interesting bet there is on the bottom left, you're getting plus money on if Dimitrov holds his first service games to either 15, 30, or 40. So that basically means he's got to hold his first three service games, any of them not to love. So we're betting on Sinner being in all of his first three service games. And you got some plus money on that. What do you think, Martina?
About the serving? Or
yeah.
The serving is completely, yeah. Might as well flip a coin.
Flip a coin.
I mean, there's no brain power that goes into that one. But the overall, I think I agree. 3 out of 4 matches, Sinner wins. But Dimitrov does have a chance.
Yeah.
As you said, he's a disruptor. He needs to disrupt Sinner's rhythm. Will be hard to do because Jannik seems to be comfortable any part of the court. Forward, he's moving forward much better. His serve is a massive weapon now. And he's just seeing the ball so well.
Yeah,
he's hitting it. I asked him, do you like watch the ball? Do you have one hanging over your bed? You know, when you're but also when you swing harder, you can actually start the swing split second later.
Right.
So the harder you swing, the later you start the swing. So you actually need to see the ball less, but you need to be more precise with where you hit it.
What I'd love to see is Dimitrov take a little page out of the GOAT's book here and throw in a little bit of serve and volley today also. Maybe attack his second serve a little bit. He's just got to give him different looks. It's brutal to execute Habes, but I don't think he's going to beat him playing straight up.
With his passing shots, you come into net at your own peril.
Yep.
But got to try something different. As you ponder all those talking points, a reminder that right now, FanDuel customers get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Inching closer to the men's final at the top of the hour. Sinner and Dimitrov both seeking their second career Masters 1000 titles. We'll look back at Danielle Collins' triumph yesterday in Miami when we come back. Well, it was not Amaraticanu level of unexpected, but still, when you're ranked 53, you've announced your retirement, and you're playing in one of the toughest fields of the year, the odds against Danielle Collins were pretty steep, but there she was when it was over, hoisting the trophy. Let's show you how the highlight went down. She'd only been to three previous finals in her career, and Prakash, she was playing a former Wimbledon champion.
Yeah, and she was down a ton of break points all the way through. I mean, 11 break points she was down, but she saved 10 of them. She started off the match so clean. It was a very even contest all the way throughout here, but it was right here where Collins was able to kind of sneak this first one out and be able to hold serve here. She was in a little bit of trouble, especially when Rybakina started attacking the net, but it was that defense that kind of held her in good stead, and she did a really good job of staying up on that baseline and trying to stay aggressive, not letting Rybakina get the first strike. Not easy to do, but Martina, getting that first set under the belt, huge in this situation.
It really helped her out, especially in that second set. At 3-0, she was down about 4 break points on her serve holds. Then Rybakina had game point for 5-3. Collins brace anyway, so she's up 5-3, and at 5-3 serving for the match, again, couple break points down, but she held her nerve. So last three games, she was game points down and just quarterbacked her way in, told her box, be quiet, I got this, and she did.
So clutch in the match, saved 10 of the 11 break points that she faced, able to break the massive Rybakina serve 3 times. And so here's some of what she accomplishes back inside the top 25 in the rankings. She did get as high as number 7 back in 2022. Lowest ranked woman ever to hoist this trophy here in Miami, and clipping Rybakina marks her second career win over a top 5. By ranking, Martina, Danielle Collins was the underdog in 5 of the 7 matches that she played these last 2 weeks. But that's who she is. She's the underdog. She's a scrapper. She doesn't care. She's defiant. She's determined. That's her personality.
Well, she didn't play underdog tennis. This last 2 weeks dominated all her matches and just looked really relaxed, was much better set for her shots, and never looked back. So, and against Rybakina, also a good matchup for her. Even though she was 3-1 down against her, every match was close. So I picked her to win. The way she played and the way she carried herself was close, but she got it done.
When precisely did you pick her to win? Yesterday? Before the match. Some people picked her to win before the third round.
Come on, Hayes.
Well done.
Come on, Hayes.
Same. Really? Okay.
After the third round.
Humble brag. Sorry. You got to do it.
Even a stop clock is right twice a day. You know, we often wonder what the impact is of playing at home, and we see players sometimes wilt under the pressure of having family and friends in the home crowd. Danielle talked with you yesterday about the fact that she felt the warm embrace.
Yeah, man, she embraced it. She said everywhere she looked in the stands, she saw one close friend. She saw another best friend here, and she just took it all in. I mean, that crowd, it willed her over the finish line. There were moments there where she could get the aggression going a little bit, but she just kind of took a deep breath, and she said, give it to me. She utilized the crowd quite a bit, and Martina, she had watched Andre growing up so much. It was her return idol. Agassi was there in the front row. She said it was surreal for her. Yeah. And to kind of do all of this in that moment, it's the stuff dreams are made of.
You know, normally she does the come on to get herself going. Yesterday, she didn't do come on. She just went like this to the crowd. Come on. Give it to me.
So good.
And my resolution for the rest of the year is to not ask her whether or not she's changing her mind about
her retirement. Don't do it, Hayes.
She's made a decision. She's going with it. We're not going to ask. We've got more to come as we work our way towards the men's singles final. Jannik Sinner getting that right shoulder stretched out. He is going to put it to work against Grigor Dimitrov coming up in less than 10 minutes. Back on TC Live, and a reminder that mere hours after the Miami Open ends, Tennis Channel's Road to Roland Garros kicks off on the green clay in South Carolina. Don't miss the action at the Credit One Charleston Open. Exclusive live coverage, first ball to last, begins tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern on Tennis Channel and T2. In a related story, former Wimbledon quarterfinalist and world-class nice person, Allison Risk, posted on Instagram this week that she is expecting a baby. And while she is out on maternity leave, she's going to join the Tennis Channel team in Charleston starting tomorrow. Prakash, you're going to have a niece, man.
Listen, I have had practice as Uncle P. I am ready for this. I just hope that the baby gets Allison's backhand and not Stevens.
That was a family shot.
That was not so much of an inside dig, but listen, they just added a dog to the family. Now the beautiful baby girl is coming along. They're going to round this out beautifully, and they could not be happier and more ready for this phase.
And if Allison's doing work for Tennis Channel, then when she comes back, she's going to start winning everything.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Pittsburgh girls are the greatest, I will just say that. All right, our featured match, there's only one left, so it's the men's final. It is Sinner against Dimitrov, three previous meetings. Sinner has won the last two, including last year here in Miami in the third round. So, time to make a pick. Martina, who you got?
I got to go with Jannik Sinner. The way he's been playing, he doesn't have to red line. Dimitrov has to red line, but he's capable of doing that. And now the red line is less of a red line because he's been playing well three matches in a row. I think Dimitrov might win a set, but I'm still have to go with Jannik to win the whole thing.
I just don't think that Sinner is going to give Dimitrov any holes to be able to poke through. And Dimitrov's going to have to play that kind of red line tennis that he played against Alcaraz.
Exactly.
I don't know that the tennis that he played against Zverev, where he played phenomenal, mixed the ball around the court beautifully, attacked the net, I don't think that's going to work. I think he's going to need to take a bit more risk the way he did against Alcaraz to have a real good shot today.
Can he possibly keep up the level that he played against Medvedev the other day? Because that was through the damn roof.
It was. I think it'll be a different match here. I don't think he's going to need to play as aggressive. I think he really needed to pin Medvedev on the baseline, because otherwise Medvedev was going to be able to kind of, you know, counterpunch and get right back in his face. Dimitrov, I think, will pose less threats off that backhand side. So, again, I think it's going to come down to a bit of the redlining that Dimitrov's going to be able to do, and how much of it can he keep up.
What other tactical imperatives might Dimitrov have to sort of break down what seems to be the impenetrable defenses of Sinner and the unstoppable power of Sinner?
He needs to take time away from Sinner because he likes to look for that forehand, so he needs to take time away. How do you do that? You hit the ball harder, you hit the ball deeper, or you come to the net, so he might have to do all three.
Let's also notice that Grigor Dimitrov served a fantastic ball game in the previous match. He had 18 aces against Sasha Zverev. So if he can get a few extra points, defend that second serve well today, those will be massive keys for him too.
Give me a first serve percentage number. What does Dimitrov have to serve today to have a shot?
I think he definitely can't serve lower than 70%. He's going to have to serve close to in the mid-70s, I think, getting first serves in. And he's going to have to win a high percentage of those, you know, probably around 80 to have a good shot. But that second serve, he's got to defend it well. Sinner's so good off of both flanks on returning.
Last word, Martina. What are you looking for today?
I'm looking for variety from Dimitrov, and we'll see if it bothers Sinner. So far, we haven't seen that. Nothing bothers Sinner these days.
Nope.
All right, it's the number 2 seed against the number 11 seed. One guy we expected to be here, the other not so much. Same story as the women's final, and you know who won that? The one who wasn't expected to be here.
All right.
32 years old, 9 titles to his credit, 1 at a Masters 1000, but it was 7 years ago. Can he resummon some of that glory? What a roar for the world number 3. Just 1 loss against 21 wins all year. The reigning Australian Open champion. It's the final in Miami. Mark Pecci, Jim Courier have the call on Tennis Channel. Enjoy, everybody.